In this episode of Dietitians Only, we interview Misty Stanley, the CEO of FreeArm. She shares her inspiring journey with her son and how he motivated her to lend a hand or a free arm to the tube feeding community.
A note to listeners, this episode discusses Misty's experience with infant loss. Please take care while listening.
You're listening to Dietitians Only, a podcast from Dietitians On Demand, created by dietitians for dietitians. Let's get into it.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Dietitians Only. This is Sarah Glanz with Dietitians On Demand, and we have a very special guest today with us. Her name is Misty Staley.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, she is the founder and CEO of the FreeArm. And so we're going to tell you a little bit about the FreeArm and what it is. But I first became aware of the FreeArm on LinkedIn, actually. I don't know how I got connected with the company or with Misty, but I will say it brightens my day every day when I'm logging into LinkedIn and, you know, checking things in the mornings. Misty's company always shares these really cute photos of the FreeArm in action, or like we say in at Dietitians On Demand, we say in the wild. And so most of these photos feature tubies, or as Misty likes to call them, people who use tube feeding, who are living their best lives and they are enjoying more freedom thanks to the FreeArm. So what I love most about these photos is that they really go a long way, I think, towards normalizing tube feeding and just showing that it's just another way to provide nutrition. And so many of the photos feature kids with special needs. And like I said, when I see them like having a picnic and they have their tube feeding, they're at the beach and they have their tube feeding, it's really brightens my day. So I actually had the opportunity to meet Misty this year at the Aspen 23 conference. And so I like ran up to her and I just had to say hello. And so we got talking and we decided to have her on the podcast. Misty is here with us. So she's going to talk about her journey with the FreeArm and how this supports the tube feeding community. So welcome, Misty.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. I'm so glad we got to meet in person in Las Vegas, where Aspen was this year.
Yes, me too. So let's just start by you telling us a little bit about your motivation for launching the FreeArm company. And I guess I didn't even explain what a FreeArm was. So do you want to just take a second to explain what exactly it is?
Sure. So the FreeArm, it's a bendable arm that has a clamp on the bottom that can clamp to a flat surface or a rounded bar. So think like a side table next to the bed, or a side table next to the couch, or a dining table, or a wheelchair on a bar on a wheelchair, or a bar on a stroller. And then that bendable arm at the top has a clamp. If you think of like a butterfly hair clip, like you know, from the 90s are back. So butterfly hair clip, but that can open up and hold different size syringes. So like a 60 cc syringe is pretty standard. Or there are two hooks on the clip that can hang a feed bag or an infusion bag up to 1200 milliliters. And then to the bottom part of the arm is a small metal cylinder where a pump, a feeding pump, can clamp, or an infusion pump. And so that pump can be up to 2.3 pounds. So common is Infinity or Kangaroo Joey or a CAD or a Curlin pump. And that way you can take your tube feeds and you can eat on the go, ditching that IV pole and leaving it at home, and then having an extra hand for those gravity syringe feeds and being able to bend that arm to regulate that feed rate so that it can go in slower if it's lower and faster if it's higher.
Awesome. Yeah. So even though you guys can't see Misty right now, she has the FreeArms in the background and they're like doing all sorts of cool things. They're holding up IV bags and syringes and stuff. So yeah, it's basically like a mobile IV pole, essentially. Kind of small and mighty.
Yeah, small and mighty. I like that. It bends up real easy, fits in your bag. So it's not cumbersome to carry around.
Awesome. So I know that you have a really unique story about how you started the company and kind of how you got to this point. And I think we should definitely hear that. I think it's a really cool story. So do you want to share that story with us?
Sure. So I'll start with my son, Freeman. He was born in 2015. Had a healthy pregnancy, didn't know he was going to have any sort of medical complexities. And after he was born, my midwife saw that he had a small cleft palate in the back of his throat. And so it was something we never saw on any of the ultrasounds and had no idea that that was going to be something that he was born with. And so between that and the way that he was breathing, he ended up being life flighted to Arkansas Children's, which is 2 hours from our house. We still didn't think anything was very important, like super, I don't know, like life threatening. But then once we arrived at Arkansas Children's, we started finding out that Freeman had all sorts of like midline differences. So he had a coloboma in one eye where the black part drips down into maybe more like a keyhole shape. So he was blind in that eye. He had two holes in his heart, an extra rib, a horseshoe shaped kidney, and of course the cleft palate. And we didn't know why. So we ended up being in the NICU. We thought, okay, we're going to be here, you know, for, you know, a week or so. We'll work up on bottle feeds using special bottles. We'll get some oxygen support. But we weren't able to get past that point. And Freeman went on ECMO shortly after we got to the NICU. And at that time, I did not know how scary ECMO is. And I'm glad I didn't. I'm glad I was pretty naive about that, because that would have been an even scarier situation. But having him go on ECMO, nurses were already telling me at that point, ECMO babies are notoriously bad eaters. And they were like, we don't know why. But between that and the cleft palate, it proved to be true. But Freeman did come off of ECMO after 5 days. And I'm so thankful for that. I was actually able to hold him again for the first time after birth on Mother's Day, 2015. Oh. And so that was really special. And then our NICU journey, we ended up being there for 3.5 months, which is crazy, like longer than some of the preemie families that were there. And we worked on bottle feeds, we worked on breastfeeding, but Freeman wasn't ever able to take the full volume that he needed by mouth. And so he pretty much had a feeding tube his whole life. So he started with an OG, then moved to an NG. And then before we discharged from the hospital, we went with a G-tube. Syringe feeding Freeman in the hospital, it was on pump syringe. And then once we were about to transfer home, it was on gravity syringe feed. So someone either had to hold it or it was rigged somewhere. So tied over the top of Freeman's crib or taped to my shirt, which a lot of times we'd both end up wet because it would fall off, or taped to the side of the crib. So then once we discharged home from the NICU, it was me sitting on the couch and holding Freeman and holding that gravity syringe, but also trying to hold his passy in. So part of therapy of him sucking as his tummy was filling. But if I didn't hold the passy, he didn't have enough suction because of the cleft palate. So it would just kind of pop out. But just trying to balance all of these things. And at that time, realizing like, I need an extra arm. I need an extra hand. But while we were at home, Freeman did have pulmonary hypertension. And so we really kept a close eye on his breathing, and he started retracting. And I reached out to his doctor, and his doctor said, yes, go back through the ER at the hospital, see if you can get a chest x-ray or maybe adjust some medicines, some things like that. So when we went to the ER from there, they put us in the PICU. And again, we thought, okay, we'll just be here for a week. We just need this chest x-ray and adjust his Lasix and stuff. And we ended up being in the PICU for 5 months, which is incredibly long because I'm on the PICU Family Advisory Board now and average stay is 72 hours. So we really were an oddity in the PICU. But while we were in the PICU, Freeman, he got a trach right before Thanksgiving. We were really hoping that that would help him turn the corner, but we never were able to really turn that corner. He ended up with some pneumothoraxes and chest tubes. And then sadly, we lost Freeman the day after Valentine's Day of 2016, and he was almost 10 months old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm so sorry for your loss, but it, you know, I know that that served as just hearing you tell the story about feeding Freeman and, you know, holding him and the pacifier and the syringe and all this, it obviously motivated you to develop this idea about the free arm and kind of run with it. So, you know, it turned out to have a positive impact, you know, certainly.
Yeah. With the free arm, it was, I don't even know if we were calling it the free arm yet. Like when I was sitting on the couch holding Freeman and trying to balance everything, that's when I like was like, Will, come help. And so it was like Will coming in the room and being like, what do you need? And I'm like, I left the medicine in the kitchen. Can you bring me that syringe? Or, you know, it's just like, I need something to hold this so I can get the things that I need. And so it was at that time that Will went to the garage and created the very first free arm at that time, which was, it was two pieces of wood, like one by one pieces, in an upside down L shape. And it had a hinge at the top. And then I taped that long upside down part of the back of the L to the back of Freeman's crib. And then I took a posy that I had from the hospital and a piece of string, and I put that around the syringe, and I was able to hang the syringe from that top piece and then swing that over out of the way if Freeman started to spit up an aspirate and I needed to sit him up quickly. But with that, I was able to free my hands, able to soothe Freeman, hold his passy in, have both hands free to get the medicine and hold it, just to be able to really do all of the caregiving tasks that needed to be done. So when we were back in the PICU, we were telling our nurses about what we had made. And I think by that time we were saying, it's the free arm. It's like Freeman, but it frees your arm. Like, and going back and forth with this whole concept of like, it helped us and we want to let other people know about it because maybe it can help others. And so it was at that time in the PICU that they were saying, oh my gosh, we need something like this in the hospital too. Like we're always rigging it and it gets in the way and we have to go over to do the every 3-hour assessment. And we either have to take that down out of the way or we're constantly batting at the syringe that's hanging over the patient and in the way. So we really started thinking about it a lot then. But after Freeman passed away, it seemed like a daunting task to take that on. But with Freeman's passing, Will and I started talking about what could we do to honor his life. And so we started talking about building a playground in our town that we live in. We live in a very small town that does not have access or did not have access to an ADA accessible playground. The closest one within our state was 90 miles away, I believe. And so it was that year after Freeman passed away that I began building Freeman Playground and started the nonprofit Freeman Foundation to raise the money to build that playground. And now we have Freeman Playground in our community that has ramps on the equipment and a poured-in-place rubber surface, a high-back swing, a high-back merry-go-round. Just lots of places for families to come and enjoy together. And then it was after the playground opened that my husband Will was really saying, let's think about the free arm and how we could help families and help nurses, help dietitians, help people in the hospital as well by having something that can hold that gravity syringe or that venting syringe in the hospital. And so from there, like, talking with families, talking with dietitians, talking with nurses, what are your pain points with tube feeding? And are you seeing some of the same pain points that we are? And the answer was yes. And that all hospitals were rigging the gravity syringe. It was paperclip chains or rubber band chains, or the scariest was taping it to the warming light over the crib. So I'm really happy that the hospital is using the free arm now. But bringing the free arm to market, it wasn't a small task, but very worth it. It's now an FDA Class 1 medical device. It's billable for insurance under 2 HCPCS codes. It's sold worldwide, available through McKesson, Medline, Cardinal. And so it's really able to reach a lot of families and clinicians that could benefit from it.
Mm-hmm. Well, just hearing you talk about, you know, some of the obstacles that you faced personally, you know, feeding Freeman, mm-hmm. also the nurses who have the same challenges and, you know, everyone's trying to get this makeshift, you know, free arm together. It makes me think of the old adage, necessity is the mother of invention.
Right.
And it just seems like that cannot be more true in your case. So I know you talked a little bit about how the free arm is supporting, you know, hospitals and also families and tubies who are receiving tube feeding or even IV nutrition at home. So what type of impact have you seen with the free arm in just supporting the tube feeding community as a whole?
Yeah, we hear from families quite a bit, and they'll share photos with us that we share through our social media channels, so through Instagram and Facebook, and also through LinkedIn. So families are just like, oh my gosh, it's so much easier to travel with the free arm and not have to drag that IV pole with us to follow-up clinic, or when we have to stay in the, you know, a hotel overnight for clinics for the hospital that's far from our house. Also from adults that have feeding tubes and are using the free arm, that independence of having something that can hold that syringe if maybe they have ALS or neck cancer, to where they're on some pretty high doses of medicine that makes them pretty sleepy. And it's hard to hold that syringe up over a 20 or 30 minute amount of time if you don't have the arm strength, or if you're falling asleep and spilling it. And so being able to have that free arm to still feed themselves, or to be able to have a caregiver that has that extra arm to hold the syringe and be able to feed you, but also interact with you, is a big thing. So I would say independence, mobility is amazing. Like with Freeman trying to hold that gravity syringe feed, but also like push his stroller. If it's like, okay, this feed's taking longer than I thought it was going to, it's just not going in, but we got to go and got to start moving towards the car and trying to hold that and push. And it's just like, it's challenging. And so to have the free arm to hold the syringe or to hold the pump and bag, it's always just really great to hear from families and see where they're using their free arm in the wild. So it's fun.
Absolutely. And that's one thing that really kind of raised my awareness about the free arm was just seeing the pictures on social media, because I figured that they were probably submitted by families who use it. And I mean, you probably know better than me, but I've seen them at the beach, at the park, having a movie night, having a slumber party, you know, traveling, this, that, and the other, in the car. I mean, it's anywhere you can, you know, hang it up and clip it on and you're eating. And yeah, it's so cool. And what I like is that it kind of removes the mystique of tube feeding. Like this is something that's abnormal that's happening, and you know, whatever. It just makes it seem like this is totally normal, and this is just the way that I eat, you know? So
Right. What
would you, I think that's something that, I mean, as a dietitian, I've seen that sort of hesitation, you know, from families or patients who are like, I don't know. It's so unnatural. So what do you think has been the impact of the free arm just to like help to normalize tube feeding, or, you know, what can clinicians do that, like things that you have done, like the free arm to help normalize tube feeding?
Yeah. And I'm glad that you mentioned this, because it is another way to eat. And I think the more and more times people see people tube feeding, it becomes more something you're used to. And so to be able to give that outlet for families to leave the house and get out and about and eat on the go, just like we would, grabbing a sandwich or grabbing something to eat on the go, being able to do that and people seeing families out and about and eating in a different way, just helps expose other people to the different ways to eat. We have on our website, so our website's freearmcare.com, And if you scroll all the way to the bottom, there's a Friends tab at the bottom, and you can click on where it says Friends. And if you go to that page, it's just tons of companies that I've had the opportunity to partner with on social media giveaways or just meet. A lot of them are other moms or family members who have created products because they saw a need with their family member. And so to go to that site and to see all of these products. So for instance, Tubesies, it's a tube feeding bodysuit. So a onesie for a baby, but instead of it being a onesie that you would only be able to unbutton between the legs to like change a diaper, it has a little square door, like opening right where the G-tube would be, but has the cutest picture. So it has a fire truck. So the fire truck door is opening, or a garden gate, and the garden gate is opening. And that has a pocket inside where you can put some gauze to soak up any leak. And then you're not having to strip your child down and take off the whole onesie to be able to tube feed and have access to the G-tube. You're just having to open that one square. So I think it's products like that too, that help make it easier to tube feed so that more families are able to be out and about when tube feeding. There's You Deliver Medical is on our Friends tab, and they've created amazing products like the Bowley bag, which if you think of like the squeeze applesauce pouches at the grocery store, but bigger, a little bigger, with a wide top. And then you can connect, I think it's called the Bowlink large cap to that bag. You can fill the bag with whatever nutrition you are having that day, whether that's blended or whether that's formula. And then you put the top on, and the top is an in-fit connector that can connect directly to your G-tube or your peg. And so if you are out and about, you're able to take your nutrition with you in this easy snack pouch, pop it in a little cooler, take it with your free arm. They also have a hanger, like a little hanger clip on there that can hang from the free arm. They also have caps that can connect directly to like a Kate Farms container. If it has the dream cap, like the plastic cap on the top, you can connect directly to that, and you can feed directly from the container. So it almost makes this like closed system, so you're not constantly like spilling stuff from an open syringe. So I would encourage everybody to look at the Friends page on our website and check out like all the amazing adaptive clothing, all the amazing like tube feeding products and products that can be used with people with feeding tubes and beyond. So I think just sharing those types of products with the families that you work with, it just makes tube feeding a little more fun and not so medical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. We have partnered in the past. We've partnered with a company called Real Food Blends. I'm sure you're familiar with them. And they, that was one of my first real exposures to blenderized tube feeding. Mm-hmm. And so I'm a big fan now. In fact, I think that's kind of the direction that tube feeding is moving, is having the more food-based blenderized products. But they put out like some educational material for healthcare providers, and it talked about just kind of like the disconnect that sometimes happens when you are receiving tube feeding. You kind of feel disconnected from the rest of your family who are, you know, they're eating a meal and you're not, you know? And so I think those types of things sort of maybe are lost on healthcare providers, that family members and people who receive the tube feeding, they definitely notice it. But maybe as healthcare providers, we're just looking at like, okay, here are the numbers. Here's what you need to do. You know, here's your formula. Here's your recipe. See you in 2 weeks or whatever, you know. And not that, you know, not that we don't care, but I think it's just sometimes a lack of awareness about logistically, how is this going to happen in the home? So I think, like you mentioned, the Friends, the other companies who are trying to support the tube feeding community, or, you know, people who have special needs, who have different needs than others, how can we better support them and just make this journey a little bit simpler? Yeah. So I love that.
Yeah. And Real Food Blends is amazing. They recently put out some videos as well about how to use Real Food Blends. I think they have a video using the Bowley bag as well, being able to pour their pouch into the Bowley bag. And then they're using Real Food Blends with a syringe. They use a free arm in their video to hold the syringe, because it is, it's hard to hold up that syringe for that long. That's a long time. But to be able to look at all of the companies that are bringing something new to the table that might be a little outside of the box, but just keeping an open mind with those products and thinking, wow, this could make life easier for people who have a feeding tube. It's if you are able to take those blenderized pouches with you and not have to lug all the food and the blender and everything for a weekend trip, it's so nice to be able to get away and just not have to have that extra burden, and to also know that, okay, my husband is having steak for dinner, and so am I, because I'm having the steak meal from.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Real Food Blends talked about, I kind of got sidetracked, but they, you know, talked about just the, like the feeling of holding a cup of coffee, you know, even if you're not drinking it, just holding it, and you can smell it and you can feel the warmth from the mug, and you just kind of have that quote unquote normal experience of just holding a cup of coffee. So yeah, I think, like I said, just trying to normalize it. And like you said, it's just another, I like how you said, what nutrition are you having today? You know, this is just the type of nutrition that you're having today. So I love that approach. So just to kind of wrap things up for this episode, can you tell us a little bit about what you see for the future for the free arm?
Yeah, it's exciting. So referring back to us getting to see each other at Aspen this year, it was wonderful. Anita Vandergraff and Cynthia Reddick and Tracy Jambertone, they did a before and after survey with people before using the free arm and then after using the free arm to try and pull some research data for a poster abstract. And it came away with the free arm improved quality of life and like outlook towards having a feeding tube by 92% with having the free arm. So that was a really great takeaway. And there were other measurables too about how many feeds were spilled before using the free arm, how many after, tolerance before the free arm and after if using gravity syringe feeding. So being able to adjust that arm for that feed rate. We saw that was really helpful. Being able to perform therapies while gravity syringe feeding, being able to not miss feeds. I know it has to be frustrating for a dietitian to calculate all of these numbers and calorie amounts that your patient needs per day. But I know firsthand, like it is so difficult to have follow-up appointments and have to leave your house and drive 2 hours to the hospital, but your child's in the car seat in the back and you don't want to feed them right before they get in the car because then they'll spit up all in the car seat, but you don't have anybody to hold the vent syringe in the back. It's just like trying to balance. For Freeman, it was that every 3 hour feed around all the other things that we had to do.
Everything else with life. Right. Yeah. The rest of his life. So yeah.
If someone is missing out on calories, it's like, how can we help and make that easier to be able to be more mobile? So we were able to see in the research that the free arm was able to help families not skip as many feeds. But what was so interesting in looking at the future of free arm, and it's so nice to be on the show because talking with dietitians to like look at this sort of research with us, but it's, we also saw that the majority of the people that took the survey were caregivers. So the majority of people who were being tube fed were under 2 years old in our survey age range. And so then that shows, okay, what does it look like for future research for when someone is being discharged with their at-home nutrition regimen and with the tools that we're giving them, what does that look like for the caregiver's quality of life? And so to think about, maybe they have two other kids at home and they're trying to make dinner for the whole family. And we've had pictures sent in from families where maybe the youngest child with the feeding tube is in a bouncy seat and the free arm's connected and the syringe is there. And the mom is able to, you know, pour 5 or 10 mils in and then keep cooking dinner for the kids and keep talking with the child that's also eating. And then just to be able to balance all of that and just do the best you can, because life is complex and it's hard to juggle it all. So for us at FreeArm, we just want to make that journey a little bit easier, as easy as we can possibly.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's been great talking with you and just hearing about this. It's a really simple product, but it's so impactful, I think. And like, as you're talking about the research and, you know, the caregivers who are completing the survey and they're reporting that it has made such a positive impact on their outlook and their quality of life, those are things that really should not be overlooked, you know, especially when we're talking about receiving medical care in the home. And so it was really great hearing, you know, your story and your journey. And hopefully this will just get some curious juices flowing with the dietitians who are listening and inspire them to, you know, look at some of these supportive products that are out there, including the Free Arm. And if you're not yet following the Free Arm, you should. And we linked their social media handles in the show notes. If you're looking for some really cute pictures of kids who are receiving tube feeding, you can't go wrong with the Free Arm, I will say. I look forward to it every day. Every time I log into LinkedIn, I see one and I'm like, good for you. There you go. You're out there at the beach or you're out there having a slumber party and you're getting your tube feeding. So, but yeah, I just want to thank you, Misty, for doing what you do and, you know, being a part of our podcast and being so supportive of the tube feeding community. But thanks for joining us. And for everyone listening, we will see you next time.
Thank you, everyone. Feel free to reach out. I'd love to connect.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks.
Thanks.
As a listener of Dietitians Only, your opinion matters. What do you like about the podcast? Who do you want us to interview next? We invite you to visit our show notes to complete a quick survey. It only takes a few minutes, and your feedback will help us create future episodes that you'll love.
Thanks for listening to Dietitians Only, a podcast produced by Dietitians On Demand. If you need a break today, scroll over to the review section of the podcast and leave us one. Your feedback is the best way to help the podcast grow. Dietitians On Demand employs hundreds of dietitians nationwide and elevates the profession with simple yet effective practice resources, like this podcast. Don't forget to stay connected with us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram.